This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
News, views and interviews for our community. The Locker Room with Ben and Rolly on Joy 94.9.
It seems remarkable, but it's true. Never before has a male professional athlete in America come out publicly as gay. Until today.
Jason Collins is making history with these simple words. I'm a 34-year-old NBA center, I'm black, and I'm gay.
For the first time, an active male player in a major team sport has announced today that he is gay. Jason Collins played college ball at Stanford and for 12 NBA seasons, most recently with the Washington Wizards. He's now a free agent. He's played in two NBA finals and he's been a part of six NBA teams.
So you send this thunderbolt out into the world.
Yeah.
12 hours later, how does it feel?
Just try to live an honest, genuine life, and next thing you know, you have the president calling you.
For a lot of young people out there who are gay or lesbian, who are struggling with these issues, to see a role model like that who's unafraid, I think it's a great thing. And I think America should be proud of that. This is just one more step in this ongoing recognition that we treat everybody fairly.
Martina Navratilova is a tennis icon and won a record 59 Grand Slam titles.
We don't want being gay to be an issue. It is an issue because we don't have equal rights. I think Jason coming out this way is going to push that forward a little bit. And most of all, he's going to save lives. There's no doubt in my mind that there's some kid in there that's not going to commit suicide because Jason out.
You know, I look at her as one of my heroes. She is my role model. Hopefully, going forward, I can be someone else's role model.
Can you believe it hasn't happened before you?
That's kind of mind-boggling. I never set out to be the first. And it's, you're sort of waiting around for somebody else to, you know, raise their hand, and you know I'm ready to raise my hand, but you know you still look around like, okay, come on, guys.
What do you say to the 12-year-old boy who's out there practicing right now, wants to be a pro ball player, and happens to be gay?
It doesn't matter that you're gay. It's about working hard. It's about sacrificing for your team. It's all about dedication, and that's what you should focus on.
I always say it's important to be who you are. People should be themselves, and you should be proud of who you are. And if you're gay, it shouldn't stop you from being anything you want to be, whether it's a Washington Wizard or a regular Wizard. So thank you, Jason. You did an incredible thing, most importantly for yourself, but also for your sport and for everyone. And I dedicate this dance right here to you.
And the final words left there for Ellen, of course, very aptly. Welcome back inside the locker room for another week, a week where American sporting history was made when Jason Collins, professional basketball player, became the first male professional sports person to openly declare their homosexuality while still playing. Now, many are proclaiming Collins a hero. Others are saying that his announcement heralds a new era for professional sport. Ben Lankin with you, and joining me to talk through the impact of this news and the ripple effect it has on the sporting world is my co-host Mark Rowland and our special guest Jason Ball. Gents, welcome.
Welcome.
Hi, Ben.
Now, Jason, you've been campaigning against homophobia in the AFL here in Melbourne for a while. Why was this Jason Collins news such a big story right across the globe?
Well, I think there's been a lot of build-up to it. Obviously, we've seen a lot of straight players in American sport speak out recently about the issue and, you know, sign up to things like Athlete Ally. Mm-hmm. So I think there's been a lot of groundwork here, a lot of tension building, and I think everyone was really ready for this announcement.
So Jason's been sort of heralded as a hero, but in fact, as you mentioned, there's been a lot of groundwork put in, and there's a lot of people who I guess have trailblazed before him to make it a bit of an easier transition coming out. Why do you think it is that professional sports people find it so difficult to be open about their sexuality? I mean, there's the news out of the US earlier in the year, Robbie Rogers retired from soccer, claiming that, you know, he couldn't possibly continue playing after announcing his sexuality is gay. Why is it still such an issue for pro sports people?
I think, you know, I've learnt a lot from Robbie Rogers' story, and I've learnt a lot from Jason Collins' story as well. I mean, it's one thing for me playing country football at an amateur level to come out publicly, but at that pro level, it really is a whole different issue. I think one of the things that Robbie Rogers spoke of was that, you know, always being known as the gay player, whether you do something really good on the field and it was like, wow, he did that and he's gay. Or if he, say, misses a goal, he's like, well, the reason he missed that goal is because he's gay or something like that. And then I guess as well as that, there's the sense that, you know, you can take gay slurs and stuff like that on the field as part and parcel of it. But if people know that you're gay and you get slurred or sledged in that way, it can actually become personal. And I think that's why Robbie Rogers in the UK felt that he wouldn't be able to keep playing. And I can understand that.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, like, you know, as more and more of these stories start to come to the fore, even your story, I start to wonder, though, that, you know, as players, you know, in the locker room, maybe there's not so much an issue, whether it's actually the coaches or the management. Maybe, you know, the older generation are stuck in their old ideas. Is that the issue, do you think, or maybe not?
Well, I actually don't think there is a big issue. I think it's a bit of a myth, this idea that there's going to be some sort of backlash or it's going to be horrible for these people. And we've seen with Jason Collins that it's been mostly outpouring of overwhelming support. So
yeah, it has been relatively positive. I mean, I wonder sometimes whether the change needs to come from the bottom up or from the top down. I mean, there's some stories that have been circulated after Jason's story, you know, throughout the week about some young kids, a 15-year-old who came out as a lesbian to her basketball player, and a college rower who came out age 19 to his teammates, rowing teammates. And these guys, their story goes unheard. But it's the change, you know, amongst the kids and at the grassroots level that I think is driving this change. And I think that needs to be matched with what's happening at the top of sport through, you know, the administrators and managers and owners of teams in America's case. So, yeah, it's quite interesting to see, you know, how that change progresses.
Well, that's exactly right. I suppose in terms of the story being so big, do you think sometimes it's not so much about being gay, but it's about being in the spotlight? You probably haven't done so, but you've done quite well in the spotlight, but some people just don't want to be in the spotlight. Would that be more of the preventative, do you think, rather than being coming out?
Yeah, I think that would be the case. I think that, especially in a team sport, you don't want to be in the spotlight. You don't want to be seen as an individual in that environment. You don't want to take away from playing the game. You don't want to politicize your club or be a distraction. You know, that's what goes through your head when you play a team sport at a pro level. Unlike the likes of Matthew Mitchum or Daniel Kowalski, it's an individual sport.
Yeah.
They didn't have those same challenges to deal with. And that's why I think it's so important that we've seen allies in the US speak out and say, you know what, I'd be totally cool if someone came out, I'd be totally cool with a gay teammate. I think that it needs to happen. We need to create that environment so that gay players don't feel like if they come out, they're going to be a distraction.
You mentioned that most of the response from Jason's coming out has been very positive. Unfortunately, there has been some negative. Let's take a listen.
But not all the reaction has been supportive. In fact, some downright hateful. Knicks fan 89 tweets back to Spike's support, "I think being gay is disgusting." Rap referee tweets, "I will not support a 7-foot queer. If I were a teammate, I'd request a trade. If I were an opponent, I'd refuse to play."
Let's turn to Jason Collins. This is the sports star that came out. You tweeted this. "So Jason Collins is a hero because he's gay. Our standard for heroism has dropped quite a bit since Normandy." Why such a cheap shot against a guy who did a pretty brave thing?
I don't think it's a cheap shot. I think that heroism is defined by willingness to sacrifice in favor of and take a real personal risk in favor of a noble larger goal. This may be a noble larger goal, but I'm not sure what the risk is.
He's the first male American athlete in history to come out as gay while still playing.
Martina Navratilova came out in 1981. That was
male.
3 years before I was born.
Male.
So let me ask you something, Pierce. Why do you hate Americans so much that you think this is such a homophobic country that when Jason Collins comes out, it is the biggest deal in the history of humanity? President Obama has to personally call him to congratulate
him. Why do I hate America so much?
That you think that we are such a homophobic country.
I think you may be homophobic simply because you said, why is Jason Collins a hero? Because he's gay.
I don't understand why.
Why sneer at a guy for coming out when he's being courageous?
I will guarantee you, if the ownership of whatever team is thinking about bringing him back or thinking about trading for him, and they go to the players on that team and they say, "How do you feel about an out active homosexual being in the same locker room, sharing the same shower facilities with you?" They say, "No way. I don't want that. I do not want some guy, a teammate, eyeballing me in the shower, and my wife does not want that."
Jason, the locker room argument is one that's come up time and time again. Now, you're an out and proud gay footballer. You're playing with a bunch of straight guys in a local AFL footy competition. What's your experience been like in the locker room?
Well, that locker room argument, it does come up time and time again. It's one that I've been asked, and the way that I respond to it really, I mean, because it is a myth as well, completely. The guys couldn't care less. I think it's almost the opposite. Like, I had a few of my teammates approach me after I came out, and they wanted to know who I thought the best looking player on the team was. And they were actually really annoyed that it wasn't them. These guys love attention.
Yeah. I don't think it's an issue. You're inside the locker room with Ben and Mark on Joy 94.9. We're talking to Jason Ball, AFL anti-homophobia campaigner. Now, Jason, let's talk about what's happened in the AFL. Last year, you were the face of a change.org campaign that challenged the AFL to tackle homophobia in sport. Let's take a listen.
A young gay footballer is making a stand against homophobia in the AFL.
A Yarra Glen footballer has launched a campaign against homophobia in the game. After coming out himself, Jason Ball now says he just wants a fair go and is appealing to the AFL to help stamp out the anti-gay culture.
How serious a problem is homophobia in the AFL?
Well, I think it's a pretty big problem. I think there's a sense of urgency around it. You know, if you look at the statistics, gay young people are six times more likely to suffer from depression or self-harm or even contemplate suicide.
I was broken up with his girlfriend and, you know, I was asking him how it was and he was like, oh, what about you, Bawley? And, you know, my heart's beating really, really fast and I'm like, is this where I tell him?
It's an unbelievably brave thing that Jason's doing and I think some people should probably take a leaf out of his book.
Pretty tough. I mean, I remember when I was 12 and realised that I was gay, I had absolutely no positive idea of what it meant to be gay, especially in football. There are no role models whatsoever and I felt that, you know, if I could take that stand and try and be that role model, that might help a few other kids out there who were in that same situation.
Jason, last year that petition from change.org received 28,000 signatures and it's continued to keep building. What has the campaign achieved so far and what do you expect it to achieve going into the future?
Well, look, a couple of the asks of the petition in particular, we asked for the AFL to screen the no to homophobia ads during the grand final. They delivered screening the ads during two preliminary finals last year, which I think was a really great result. I mean, it got seen by arguably more people being shown at two finals than, say, at the grand final itself. So we were pretty happy with that result. Another ask of the petition, I guess I was sort of aiming for the top. If I could think of the one thing that would show that the AFL is completely on board, you know, they've done an Indigenous round, they've done a women's round, they've done a multicultural round. Why not have a pride round if they really want to face up to this issue and tackle it head on? And the AFL seem to be open to that idea. I don't know if it's going to happen anytime soon.
I mean, anybody does.
But they have flagged that they're considering that. It's even we've even got a date in mind. We've even got teams in mind. So we have to see where that, like, what comes from that. However, I think the reason that there's been a bit of a delay in sort of doing something like that is the AFL, I get the sense that they want to do a bit of the groundwork needed before they do something kind of symbolic and tokenistic.
So what is that groundwork? What do you think needs to happen to set the tone?
What needs to happen is they need to get all of their own people on board, whether it's AFL staff, players, coaches. There's a lot of training and education and awareness raising that needs to happen from within the AFL before they can go out and do something like it.
Well, that's
it.
I think they've got to get their own culture in check first, make sure that everyone within the organisation is on board before they can go and, I guess, take responsibility for changing the hearts and minds of everybody else, the spectators, the players, the supporters. So, yeah, really, really important. Now, yesterday, Jill Stark broke the news in the Sunday Age that the AFL Players Association, while the AFL itself might be dragging their feet, the AFL players certainly are not, and they've announced that there will be a new campaign coming out shortly to coincide with the International Day Against Homophobia. Tell us a little bit about that campaign.
Right, yeah, so coinciding with Idaho, International Day Against Homophobia, and obviously Brock McLean from Carlton has been an AFL player who's prepared to put his name to this cause to stamp out homophobia in the game, and I guess this new campaign here is just really extending that. We've got a lot of buy-in from a much larger group of players who are prepared to stick up for this cause and put their name to it. So we're going to see a number of different things involved in this campaign. A video with the AFL players taking a pledge and encouraging others to take a pledge. There's going to be a social media element. There's going to be sort of a country grassroots football element to it. So I'm really excited to see that unveil. Keep an eye out for it on May 17.
So where do we go to find out more details on that?
So it's going to be launched probably on the 16th of May, yep. The AFL Players website. So aflplayers.com.au, I believe, is the website of the AFL Players Association. That's where it's going to be hosted, and obviously on Twitter and Facebook as well.
Jason, thanks so much for joining us tonight. Congratulations on the campaign so far, and good luck as you continue to take on the AFL big boys. Up next, we talk to the organisers of the Asia Pacific Out Games, and later we chat to the Melbourne Smashers, Melbourne's queer badminton club. You're on Joy 94.9.
Sports news, views and interviews for our community. The Locker Room with Ben and Rolly on Joy 94.9.
21 minutes past 9 on Joy 94.9. You're in the Locker Room with Ben and Mark. And joining us on the phone now is the organiser of the Darwin Out Games, being hosted in Darwin in May next year. Now, registrations open this week. And to give us a bit of a rundown, we're joined by Olivia Burkett, who's the sports coordinator for the games. Olivia, welcome to the Locker Room on Joy 94.9.
Thanks so much for having me.
Now, tell us a little bit about the Asia Pacific Out Games and specifically the Darwin Out Games. How did it all get started?
It actually started with our chairman back in 2011. Ollie Burst, he'd attended the previous two Out Games as a competitor, and he saw that GLISA were calling for people to bid to be the host city, and he thought Darwin would be amazing. So he set about as a one-man show collecting people together to help write the bid for Darwin to host the event.
Olivia, this must be one of the biggest, gayest events at Darwin's. How are you sure you guys can accommodate so many fabulous people up there?
We certainly can. Darwin is a fantastic place to host big events. So we have amazing things like the Darwin Cup Festival and the V8 Supercars. So there's certainly the accommodation providers to be able to host a big crowd. So everyone's welcome.
So tell us, how many people are you expecting to compete or to come along to the event?
We've conservatively said about 1,500 people.
Wow.
But I think given the buzz that we've already had so far and registrations aren't even open yet, we'd love to see more than that even.
So you've got 18 games or sports registered. What are some of the lesser known sports that people might not know about that you've got on?
We're pretty excited that roller derby is going to be one of the sports.
Oh, we love roller derby.
Yeah, roller derby's brilliant. That's huge down
What
here.
Was your roller derby name again?
Two-ton Rolly. Yeah. Rolly. Nice. Tonka truck Rolly, I think it was.
I don't have a roller derby name, but one suggestion a friend gave recently was Screaming O.
Screaming O.
Oh, I like that.
I like
that. I think that could be good.
Tell us, how does one get involved in the Out Games? Can you come as an individual? Do you need to be part of a team? Do you need to get selected? Do you need to represent your city? How does that process work?
Anyone can come. So you can come absolutely as an individual. If you've got any friends or you can form a team, the more the merrier. But basically the way you can join is through the registration system, which will be launched on Friday. And so you just need to look at one of the 18 sports that you're keen to be part of. Even if you don't want to play a sport, there's a few other things that you can be part of, including the conference and the cultural program. Or if you've got a friend who's really sporty and you want to tag along with them, you can come along as one of our supporters.
Olivia, some of my mates over in Wellington emailed me today. They were saying that having the Out Games over there 2 years ago, surrounding all those politicians with the great people in our community, was able to push them over the line with gay marriage. Do you think it might have the same influence up in Darwin?
No pressure at all, Olivia.
Well, I think that'll be amazing because we heard that that was part of the speech in the New Zealand address to Parliament, that how influential the Out Games was. So that, to me, is a really exciting prospect. And I think what it will do is certainly create awareness, hopefully some acceptance. So whether or not it can actually change laws, that's one thing, but certainly awareness is a really key part.
Now, you mentioned earlier that it's not just about the sport. You've got other things going on. Tell us a little bit about what's happening off the pitch.
Yeah, look, we're going to have an opening and a closing ceremony as part of many multi-sport games. But we're also going to have a range of cultural activities. Some will be free, others there'll be a fee to participate in, and that'll be happening days and nights throughout the whole event. And we're also hosting a human rights conference for 2 days. And so they will all overlap, so people come up for the 7 days of the event and can be part of any or all of the above.
Olivia, us gays love to party. What sort of nightclub events have we got on?
Well, certainly Darwin's largest gay nightclub is Throb.
That's a great name, isn't it?
So Throb Nightclub, we've already been talking to very closely, and they're looking at extending their opening hours to be able to open nearly every night of the out games. But as well as that, we've got some fantastic party venues, some really great nightclubs, some beautiful seaside bars and pubs. So there's something for everybody.
Now, you mentioned before, well, Mark mentioned before, 18 sports included in the program this year, 1,500 participants. That must put a bit of a strain on the city's sporting facilities. How many venues have you got involved for the event?
Yeah, we're going across a range of venues in Darwin. Depending on, some sports are using multiple venues, and we're trying to utilise all of the fantastic spots that we can around Darwin. So things like the Aquathon will be held at the new Darwin Waterfront Precinct.
Olivia, what's Aquathon? You've caught me there with a little bit of surprise. Sure. I'm getting a little bit excited here. What's involved?
Well, Aquathon is loosely called the Splash and Dash.
The who?
The Splash and Dash.
Oh. So it's a swim and a run.
Sounds like a normal Saturday night for you, Rolly.
And so that's something where we know that sometimes travelling with a bike for our triathlete friends can be a bit prohibitive, so we just thought, let's ditch the bike, just get out the goggles and the sneakers and have a swim and a run. So that's the Aquathon.
Oh, sounds awesome. Well, me and Ben have just been having a little bit of a chat off here, and we think we will be coming up. I think we're going to... What are we going to rustle together, Ben?
I think a touch team is the way to go.
A touch team? Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
We're certainly not doing badminton after last week.
So will we just be on our own to try and organise flights and accommodation, or have you guys already sorted that out? Are there any packages available?
We're actually working closely with Territory Discoveries, who's one of the branches of the tourism up here. And they are nominating sort of preferred accommodation providers, but it will be up to all of the individuals to book their own flights and accommodation. And the tip for Darwin is to get in early. So make sure you do certainly book your accommodation ahead of time.
So how do people get more information if they wanted to register?
They can jump on our website, which is www.darwinoutgames.com.au. You can like us on Facebook, and you can also follow us on Twitter. So there's a few different ways you can find out what's going on.
Brilliant. Olivia, we'll be jumping online very, very shortly once we can find... How many people in a touch team?
Seven.
Well,
we might need a few reserves, knowing
us.
I think you can have up to 14, but, yeah, jeez. I think 7 or 8 is what you'll need to get by.
Jeez, that's half a jet staff flight. Olivia, thanks for joining us. If you want to get more information about Darwin Outgames in May next year, you can visit their website, darwinoutgames.com.au. You're in the locker room with Ben and Rolly. Next up, it'll be my roundup. And later we catch up with the Melbourne Smashers. You'll be able to hear how Ben went.
Not very well.
You're on Joy 94.9.
Thanks, Olivia.
Thanks very much, guys.
Do you want to hold your own in a sports conversation? Get a better pub quiz score, or just like the sound of two boys talking about ball sports? Then join Ben and Rolly in the locker room on Joy 94.9.
You're on Joy 94.9, and it's time for Rolly's Roundup. At least 8 professional footballers in the English Premier League have revealed to colleagues that they are gay, but have refused to go public because they fear a backlash from fans. In Britain, no professional footballer has come out and continued their career since Justin Fashanu in 1990. That's 22 years ago for those who need the maths.
A long time.
I know. He stopped playing in 1994, but sadly, and this is really bad, but hung himself 4 years later, age 37. The chairman of the Gay Footballer Supporters Network said that although progressive attitudes have begun to infiltrate the dressing room, or the locker room we like to call it here, the fear of how supporters would react remained a problem. He went on to comment that if gay players began to play badly, fans instantly connected their sexuality with their poor performance. Going over to Adelaide, where the swimming national titles have just finished, a lot of optimism has been generated going forward to the Rio 2016 Games. The new team boss believes the tough love required after the London Olympics has honed the Australian team into a leaner, meaner swimming outfit for July's world titles in Barcelona. However, he did admit that it wasn't a true gauge until they find out how the US went, how the US are going, which their trials are going on in a month's time. James Magnussen has turned over a new leaf since the 4x100 relay team debacle at the London Olympics. He looked like the missile of old after gunning down the 50-metre freestyle finals field to record the fastest time of the year.
He's off the still knocks, is he?
Yeah, well, yeah. Sounds like
hopefully.
It. Yeah, well, he absolutely blistering. Just gunned them all down. He even momentarily ditched his humble persona that we've become what he's become known for, to triumphantly jump out of the pool and flexed his muscle, looking up and seeing the time that eclipsed his previous best. It was quite a parade, I'll tell you right. After the race, Magnussen said, "I got in the pool and thought it's going to be a quick one tonight." So it must have been some fast water, I think. I don't know how they make fast water, but I hear...
Jets.
Yeah, I think it's something like that. Five-time London and medalist Alicia Coutts is going to face a busy schedule in Spain. She qualified for five individual events, plus the prospect of contesting three relays. Following on with the Olympics theme, the Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe says he would be the first to applaud if Istanbul is chosen to hold the 2020 Olympics. I apologise, I'm struggling tonight with a bit of the flu. Abe appeared to be trying to make amends for remarks by the governor of Tokyo, Naoko Inoue, who suggested in a view that Istanbul was less developed and less equipped to host the games than the Japanese capital. Inoue was quoted as saying the only thing Muslim countries share in common is Allah, and they are fighting with each other and they have a class structure. The remarks have prompted the IOC to investigate, while Turkey's sports minister said they were unfair and disheartening. Turkey is currently competing with Istanbul and Madrid to host the Olympics in the 2020. Going across to the NRL, the famous Russell Crowe was on Hatton to watch his team South Sydney Rabbitohs, not as a supporter, but of course their owner and boss. The Rabbitohs have won their seventh match of the season against Brisbane on Friday. The club is poised to reach its first finals in 42 years. The man who deserves most of his credit is former Storm assistant coach Michael Maguire. South overcame a disappointing first half across against the Broncos, so they thought we were going to take it out, but then they laid a killer blow just after half-time. Maguire reportedly blasted Souths at the break, and as they have so often under his stewardship, the team dug deep and responded. Going across to our netball team now, across over at Hisense Arena, the Melbourne Vixens stormed home to secure a comfortable 52-30 win over Central Pulse. The Vixens coach was happy with the win, but didn't deny her team were faced with a challenge against the physical and strong Pulse side. The Vixens home crowd witnessed a close and fierce first quarter, with the score locked goal-goal for much of the opening quarter. The Vixens next game is on Sunday against the Sydney Swifts. You're now up to date, and that's Rolly's Roundup on Joy 94.9.
You're inside the locker room with Ben and Rolly on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
26 minutes to 10 on Joy 94.9. You're inside the locker room with Mark and Ben. Hope you're having a lovely evening. We certainly are.
Yeah, it's been all right tonight. Jason's caught us up with the business. And, the AFL business. And hopefully you're all up to date now, Ben, with the roundup.
Yeah, thank you for bringing us all the most exciting, interesting news stories from all over the sporting world.
Yeah, I know.
It's always an absolute delight.
It's been most of my Sunday night researching. It's great.
Now, Thursday night, Mark, we went out to a Melbourne Sports and Aquatic Centre.
Yeah, no,
something new for us.
Yeah, it was brilliant. Went down to MSAC, first visit there. I thought of, you know, usually people go there to go in the pool, but as we arrived, we made our way past the ping pong tables. A lot of interesting characters playing there.
Taking it very, very seriously.
I know. A ball sort of came, a guy yelled at me for blocking his view of the ping pong table, so I had to quickly squirt to the side, and then made our way to the badminton courts.
And it was a lot of fun. We were there to catch up with the Melbourne Smashers, Melbourne's gay badminton club. Take a listen.
You're on the locker room on Joy 94.9 with Ben and Rolly. We're down here at MSAC, about to have a hit out with the Smashers, which is Melbourne's LGBTIQ badminton.
Jesus, a shuttlecock just came flying. Take out an eye or something.
I like it because it sort of it races at you, and then as it's about to hit you, it just slows down to about 1 mile.
Yeah,
I find
it's quite hard to see, actually. I think I'm going to challenge. It's going to be really challenging for me. Anyway, we'll see how it goes.
Well, there's a shuttlecock here that's bright yellow with a pink knob on the end, so we might see if we can get one of those to help your eyesight out a little
bit. Yeah, that'd be good. Like the ones they have for the blind people.
And they have a whistle on it. Yeah. Like, the organiser here has just given us a couple of bats. Are they bats or paddles?
No, they're rackets, aren't they?
Oh, rackets.
They're lovely little things.
Mine's
nice and light.
I like this, Ben. They're a Yonex muscle power steel shaft. Anyway, right, we're going to go and try and find out the skills and the rules
are important.
The skills.
Not that we abide by them very often, but we'll see how we go.
And then what we'll do is we'll try and team up with some of the people here and have a bit of a hit out.
I've just sent Ben down to the other end of the court. It is a court, isn't it, Stuart?
It's a court.
It
yeah.
is a court. But the only problem is I don't know the rules, so
that's all right.
Stuart's going to partner up with me, and he's going to hopefully we're going to take this out.
So the rules basically is each rally is a point.
Each rally a point. Yep.
And you serve from one side to the opposite corner.
Yep.
And in the short fat box, and then after that, the whole court is in, and you just keep playing until you win the point, either smashing it down or it hits the floor.
So, major communication, are you going to go up to the net or do you want me to go up to the net?
It's the nearest one to the shuttle hits it. That's always the way. I will direct you as you're going and say, yours, mine.
All right, yours, mine. Fight, yours, mine. I've got that.
Right, so we're lining up now for my first ever foray into badminton. Harvey is my teammate. He's just given me the brief rundown of how it works. Apparently this shuttlecock is not supposed to touch the ground, so I'm going to keep it in the air. I can basically go anywhere in this court, and that line there is out. So you can't really see where I'm pointing, but never mind. So, look, I'm excited. I'm ready to go. And, you know, I won the Tennis Challenge last week, so I'm looking forward to, I guess, protecting my title this week.
Ben's started off the serve. I always miss it. Ben not quite getting it over the net, but, you know, slow start. We'll get there. It's all right. We'll have a serve from Stuart now. He'll be showing us how to do it. Off it goes. There we are. Nice smash there. Good backhand. Good backhand. Good rally. Good rally. Oh, smashed it into the net. Point to Ben. Oh, we've got a great rally here. Oh, and it rolls over Rolly's head. Roly poly roly. A cock in the eye. I think that's the word of the day. Roly with a serve. Match point. Match point. Oh, this is very exciting. This could go on for a really long time or very short. Oh, cross swords.
Well done.
Well played, well played.
Thanks, well done. Oh, is that the quickest 21 you've ever played? It'd have to be, wouldn't it?
No, that was a good length game.
The Locker Room. Come in and get changed. Sports news, views and interviews for our community. Joy 94.9.
The Locker Room on Joy 94.9 now. Ben and Mark are down here at the Melbourne Sports and Aquatic Centre. We're here with the Melbourne Smashers, the Melbourne's LGBTIQ badminton club. Joining us now is the president of the Melbourne Smashers, Stuart Mosley. Stuart, thanks for having us down.
No worries.
Now, that was quite a physical test that we just had there. Mark did take it out, but only just. Now, this is really exciting. There's like 40 guys down here. You must be really happy with the turnout.
Yeah, considering we started off with a club of just four of us. Four mates started off about 2 years ago, and we moved here about 18 months ago, and since then it's gone gangbusters. We've kind of got up to 60 is our biggest night, and so we had to play. We play on a Thursday, and we have a Sunday afternoon session as well.
And do you find that most of the guys are coming down are new to the sport, or are they mostly old hands?
Oh, we have a very broad mix. So we've got a broad mix of skills, and we really want it to be a social club rather than a super competitive club.
Yeah, it's great. You've got a pretty good mix down here. How do people get involved?
So they just rock up on the night, and all it is, you know, you pay your $10 and you can either turn up on the Thursday night or you turn up on the Sunday afternoon, and we have some spare rackets down and just have a go.
So you've been around for about 2 years. You're heading off to Antwerp very soon for the gay games. Very exciting.
Yeah.
What can you expect over there? I guess there'd be some big competition from some of the other countries where badminton is a much bigger sport, you'd imagine?
Well, in Europe, there is pretty much a gay competition every month. So they're all very used to playing in comp, and we don't have many comps here in Asia-Pac. But we're hoping to kind of get that going, certainly with Darwin next year.
Big contingent heading over to Darwin, is it not too far away?
Yeah, hoping so. Hoping we're going to get quite a lot of people going to Darwin and kind of certainly hit up against the Sydney mob that is also around.
Fantastic. Stuart, thanks so much for having us down here. Finally, if anyone wants to get involved, how can they get in touch?
We've got a Facebook site. Just look under Melbourne Smashers. And we also have a website, which is also just search under Google for Melbourne Smashers, melbournesmashers.webs.au. And or email us on melbournesmashers@google.com.
Fantastic. Stuart Mosley, president of the Melbourne Smashers, Melbourne's gay badminton club. Mark, a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, it's brilliant. Maybe this is the next sport I take up.
You're in the Locker Room with Ben and Mark on Joy 94.9.
The Locker Room with Ben and Rolly on Joy 94.9.
It's 18 minutes to 10. You're on Joy 94.9 on The Locker Room with Ben and Rowley. We've just had a text in, well, the match report textist in to us, Ben. On Saturday, the Smashers had the big autumn tournament.
Oh.
40 players competed in various grades. The competition actually started at 9:30 a.m. and went to 4 p.m. So it's
a long day of badminton.
It's a very long day. The text said from James that everybody was completely spent.
I can imagine.
Sound like a big day down there at MSAC. Just wanted to say congratulations to all the winners. And I hear that a good day was had by all down there, Ben.
Now, Craig texted in earlier about our comments around Jason Collins coming out as the first openly gay male major sport player in the US. And he said Glenn Burke was known to be gay as the first gay athlete in the US, but in fact he was the first person, yes he was gay, but he wasn't out publicly. So Jason Collins was the first one to come out publicly. Glenn Burke came out to his teammates and his colleagues, but didn't come out to the public until after he finished playing. Yeah. So you're inside the locker room with Ben and Mark. Coming up soon, we're going to preview what's coming up here in Melbourne in the world of sport. You're on Joy 94.9.
Sports news, views and interviews for our community. The Locker Room with Ben and Rolly on Joy 94.9.
You are in the Locker Room on Joy 94.9. Ben and Mark, 12 minutes to 10.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right, Ben. Our first text was I'm not sure about this one. They say Richmond from Richmond. First time text, a long time listener. So I'm not sure about this one. But actually, a really interesting question. Ask why we haven't mentioned Ian Roberts before, either tonight or previously. Now, for those who are not listening, Ian Roberts was the first out player in Australia.
In the NRL.
Yeah. But do you know what's really interesting? Is it back in 1995?
And there hasn't been anyone since.
No. So we had,
it's incredible.
We had Justin Fashinanu back in 1990, back in the English Premier League, then 95. So these were pretty hard times. And you'd think by now, 2012, things would have got easier. Mm.
Unfortunately, Ian Roberts' story was a little bit better than Justin Fashinanu, who tragically committed suicide a few years after his announcement. But Ian Roberts went on to a bit of an acting career.
Oh, tell me more, Ben. I'm not sure about this
one. Yeah, so Justin Fashinanu, a couple of years after retiring from the sport and coming out as gay, tragically hung himself.
Yeah.
Actually, the Australian Gay Soccer Championships is named after him, the Fashinanu Cup.
Oh, wow.
Where Melbourne's own Melbourne Rovers compete against Sydney and the other gay teams in Australia.
Yeah.
In honour of Justin. But interesting, Ian Roberts was this massive unit of a man. I mean, I don't know whether you've ever seen him, and he's still just as big, and he's obviously still works at the gym quite a lot.
Yeah.
So it's a massive arms. There was an interview on Channel 10 News, actually, after Jason Collins' big announcement during the week, and he came out, and I tell you what, he's looking good for an old man.
Jeez.
Yeah,
how old would he be now?
Oh, got to be 40-odd, I'd say.
Yeah. So have we had any more? You've had one more text?
Yeah, one more text in from Colin from Paran. He's loving the show. He's a shuttlecock flying everywhere. He liked our little badminton expose.
Oh,
so
nice.
Thanks for getting in touch, Colin. If you want to join in the conversation, you can SMS 0427JOY949.
Yeah, we've had Jason did text us to say that we took up too much time chatting and we forgot to mention his event. One of the main reasons he was in here, Ben. So maybe you'd like to take a moment to let everybody know out there.
Yeah, definitely. So Jason Ball, the AFL anti-homophobia campaigner, who's doing some fantastic work with the AFL, has a event coming up on Wednesday the 23rd of May at Embigan Books in Lonsdale Street, Melbourne. Wednesday 23rd of May, 6:30 p.m. He's bringing together a whole bunch of academics to talk about homophobia in sport and gay people in sport. Caroline Simons from Victoria University will be there to talk about her Come Out to Play survey, which surveyed the sports experience of LGBT people in Victoria, joined by Grant O'Sullivan, who works with Caroline, who's now surveying or is doing the Equal Play study, a study of queer youth experiences in PE and sport. Now, that's been going on for a couple of months now, and basically they're looking at people sort of aged 21 and under and their experiences in sport and PE at school to see, how that experience was for people. So that's really interesting. Also, David Loudon from La Trobe University, he's been surveying AFL players' attitudes towards sexuality and gender diversity. So it'll be interesting to see what comes out of that study as well. And then Gillian Fletcher, also from La Trobe, she's doing a study about how sports brings people together and how thinking about sexuality could potentially change the game.
Geez, what an awesome lineup.
So
if you wanted to know more
it?
About that, then yeah. Sorry, Ben. Tell us again what time and whereabouts.
It's Wednesday the 23rd of May and bargain books at Little Lonsdale Street in the city, 6:30 p.m. You'll hear Jason Ball, moderated by our very own Dean Beck here at Joy 94.9. Yeah. Sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it does. We'll get that up on our Facebook page just in case you don't get it. Very interesting. For instance.
Now, Mark, this weekend it's time to register if you want to walk, run or jog in one of Australia's biggest charity races, the Mother's Day Classic. Now, you can opt for a 4 kilometre course or an 8 kilometre course, which snakes its way around Alexandra Gardens on the Tan, or you can put your hand up to volunteer and help out on the day.
So, Ben, yeah, it looks like if you're wanting to watch many of our sporting teams this weekend, you may need to get on a plane or plonk yourself in front of a TV. On Saturday, the Rebels take on the Blues at Eden Park in Auckland. The Blues currently lie second in the ladder. The Rebels are unfortunately at the wrong end, currently in 12th.
Yeah, I don't know whether the Rebels are going to have much success over in Auckland. We'll see.
Look, they did pretty well against my team, the Crusaders.
Look, it was a good performance, but still so very, very, very frustrating to watch. I mean, great to see Kurtley Beale back. I think he was in fine form. He's obviously been working really hard in his short stint away from the game. Look, if he can stay off the booze, he's on track for a Wallabies jersey, and I think he'll definitely be at fullback against the Lions later in the year.
So the losing margin this week, I understand, was pretty small.
Yeah, it's only one try, isn't it?
It was a high-scoring game, though, so it didn't seem like either team had defence,
I think. Yeah, no, there was a bonus point there for both teams. So, it was an interesting game of rugby to watch. The first half was spectacular. But I tell you what was the best game to watch. That was the Waratahs game. Israel Folau again on fire. No doubt at all that he'll be playing on the wing for the Wallabies.
Look, I know we're in an AFL state here and I've got to watch my words, but...
Well, he played AFL at one point.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm just wondering. Has that been a bit of an embarrassment for the AFL in a way that sort of, you know, Israel Folau's gone and then gone back to rugby union?
Oh, look, I just think he's an absolute sporting or football genius. I think it doesn't matter what code he plays, he's just an absolute superstar. I think, you know, there's very few sports people like him out there, and I think he's a rare breed, but God, is he talented.
Whereabouts is this Carmichael Hunt? Wasn't he... He was hanging around on the beaches in the Gold Coast or something.
Overrated, Carmichael Hunt.
Is he still in the AFL, though?
Well, I don't know, actually.
Oh, it was the next big thing, and then you hear nothing.
Now, the Melbourne Storm, they're flying high at the top of the league, this Sunday we'll be taking on the Penrith Panthers, hoping to hold on to their place at the top of the ladder and be back to winning ways. Now, they had a shock loss against Canberra on the weekend. You know, they were expected to win pretty easily, but dropped their guard a little bit, the boys in purple.
Look, any time you travel to Canberra, you end up off your game. If you've ever been to Canberra, it's bloody cold. There's not a lot there to do, so... I'd imagine they fell off their game a little bit, and they didn't have Molly there to cheer them on, so I think that's where we go. The two titans of the netball world will meet on Sunday the 12th May in round 8 of the 2013 ANZ Championship when the New South Wales Swifts take on the 2012 grand finalists, our own Melbourne Vixens, at Sydney Olympic Park. State pride is online for this match. Now, the Vixens will be back here at Hisense the following week.
You go and check out?
Yeah,
now,
definitely.
They're pretty close to the top of the table, aren't they, the Vixens?
Yeah, they are. Yeah, so they're definitely in the running again.
So, yeah.
Great atmosphere. They fill Hisense. So, look, if you want to get down there, they have those blow-up sticks. Now, I'm not sure the name, but...
The bangers, the...
Yeah, bangers. Yeah, great time, man.
The soccer season in the UK is also coming to a climax, and this weekend the FA Cup final is at Wembley. Now, the fixture will see Man City, who are currently second in the English Premier League, take on Wigan, who are facing the prospect of relegation. So if you don't mind staying up late for the match, it's due to kick off at 2:15 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Make sure you set your alarms for that one, for those football fans.
Yeah, Man City was never even on the radar a few years ago. Somebody turns up with a pot of money, City and blue jerseys everywhere. It's funny, actually, if you get to travel around a bit, you sort of can gauge the English Premier League when you get in a taxi in Bangkok. I remember getting in a couple of years ago, and it was just Man U. And then Chelsea arrived with a big pot of money, and then suddenly, you know, arrived in Bangkok a year later,
everyone's
and they're
got
like,
a different
Chelsea,
color jersey.
Chelsea. Yeah. So, most recently, it's been Man City. You know, I went to Bali recently, and, you know, it was all Man City. So... It's a funny sport. You know, it just sort of seems to be whoever can write the biggest check seems to be the club of the year in a way.
That's about all we have time for another week, Mark. Thanks so much to all of our guests. Jason Ball, of course, for all this fantastic work he's doing with the AFL. An absolute hero. Olivia Burkett, for the sports coordinator from the Asia Pacific Outgames in Darwin next year. And Stuart Mosley and all the guys from the Melbourne Smashers for having us down on Thursday. As always, special thanks to Adam for our podcast. They'll be up on the Joy website, joy.org.au/locker room.
Yeah, keep an eye on the Locker Room Facebook page, Ben. As I was saying, we're definitely thinking about going up and organising a bit of a touch team. So if you're thinking about going up as well, make sure you stay in communications with us, and we'll take a bit of a crew up.
You're on Joy 94.9.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.